come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? Yes, we are.
Yes
we are. Here we go. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Daniel 10:12, ESV. Okay, now we're going to do it again, a little bit stronger. Yes, here we go. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." Daniel 10:12, ESV. Good job. Okay, now here we go with our Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known.
And so, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, that you have been preparing us for this day, all of our lives, Lord, that we are living in a world at this particular time that is just the way that you said it would be. And so, Lord, we put our mind at rest right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we look to you to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we put our trust in you. We rest in who you are. We rest in who we are in you. And Father, as we get into this study, I pray, Father, that our hearts would be moved and that we would be changed because of what you have spoken to us by the way of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm so excited because my new Bible is now getting all marked up. So I can finally find something in it, because you know how you mark up your Bible and it's on page this and it's on the right hand side, it's up toward the top. So I'm getting used to my Bible now and I'm excited to have things all marked up in it. I don't know, are some of you, you don't dare to mark in your Bible? Is there anybody who you wouldn't think of marking in your Bible? Okay, good. Okay, so I mark mine up all over the place. So this book of Daniel, this particular portion of Daniel, is probably the least taught and the least studied of all of the things that are in the Bible, these last three chapters. And really, they should all go together, but we decided that you didn't want to do that kind of homework. So they should all run together. They do all run together, and we've broken them up. So there's hardly anything in the Bible quite like these three chapters. And these three chapters show in some detail the end of the time of the Gentiles, as well as what will occur during the 70th week to the people of God, to the at the return of Jesus to glory, return to the earth in his glory. And my mouth is going to work this morning, and it's going to like it. So the key verse to this whole chapter is verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. We know that it's in the future. Here's the key. We know that it's in the future. We know also, and I think we understand, that we are that future that's being talked about right here. There are things that are being moved into place in so many ways. If you're keeping up on some of the tech stuff that's happening right now, and you're keeping up on all of that and not worn down from all of the information, you'll find that we are living in those days where some of these things that are in Daniel and in Revelation are going to be taking place. So we're looking for the Lord Jesus to come back and take us home to be with him. So in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. 3 full weeks I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So we're given a specific date right here. It's in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and then follows, there's another time when we get into verse 4. There's going to be another time. The 24th day of the first month is going to be recorded there as well. These are prophetic dates. And how, what a joy it is to look into the Bible and find these prophetic things being said, and then being able to go to it and see those that were fulfilled, that were on specific dates. Things like the birth of Isaac in Genesis 17 was prophesied, and then in Genesis 21, it was fulfilled. The bondage of Israel in Genesis 15 was fulfilled in Exodus 12. The birth of John the Baptist, Luke 1, 11 through 22, it was fulfilled in Luke 1, 57 through 64. And then Israel's 70 years in captivity in Jeremiah 25, 8 through 12, was fulfilled in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. So we have all of those dates to prove that these things were true. Daniel was given this vision when he was over 90 years old. He's at the end of his life. But the thing that I'm really drawn to is he knew that it would be for a long time that these things would be fulfilled. We find him mourning and praying. We find him in mourning and praying for 3 weeks, fasting and praying, fasting and praying. He was mourning. What was he mourning over? Is it possible that he was mourning over the fact that the end of the 70 years have been completed and still there are people who don't care about going back to Jerusalem? Would he be mourning over the fact that those who did go back to Jerusalem were met with enemies? They had to fight for the land that they were taken out of to get back into it. Was he mourning over that, or was he mourning over other things that the Lord had given him? Daniel's concern might have been on their lack of interest. Ezra 2, 64 and 65 and in Nehemiah 7, 66 tell us that only 49,697 people wanted to return to Jerusalem. It is now approximately 72 years after that time, and since the first people went home, and now only a small number wanted to return. So Daniel mourned over the lack of concern of the hearts of the Jews. His burden was increased by the enemies. Zerubbabel led the first group of people back after the 70 years and was able to lay the foundation of the temple. That caused the people to rejoice, and we find that in Ezra chapter 3. But he had no pleasant food. He did not drink wine. He didn't eat meat. It means that he just ate the very basics to keep him alive. He ate the very basics, nothing fancy at all. It also says that he didn't put any oils on himself. He did not anoint himself. So he was thin and stinky. And so, but he wasn't drawing attention to himself. He was doing this because he mourned for the people of God. He was in mourning for the people of God. Such self-denial, the same kind of self-denial that our Lord had, is required for true discipleship. There's a cost for discipleship. We don't get to go to heaven just because we said, Jesus, come and live in my heart, forgive me of my sins. Did he do it when we said that? Yes. We have no promises after that point if we are not walking with the Lord. And you can argue with me afterwards, I'm once saved, always saved. I'm once saved, always saved, unless you fall away. I don't know what that is, but if there is just the slightest indication that I could fall away and not go to be with the Lord forever, I'm going to stay as close to Jesus as I possibly can. Why take the chance on something else? So we're going to draw close to him. And so my question really is, do we give ourselves to prayer and self-denial when the work of God slows down and Satan attacks other believers, other brothers and sisters in other countries? Are we mourning? Are we weeping? Are we praying? Are we denying ourselves privileges and things so that we can be in prayer for those other people in other countries, in our own country? In our own country, there are people who need us to be praying for. Do we grieve over the suffering and adversities of the workmen and the work of God? Well, Daniel did, and it was something that he did all the time. And because of his sad heart, Daniel refused to anoint himself. So anointing of the body during fasting and during joy is recorded in Amos 6:6-7. So what we have here, both at the beginning and at the end, Daniel, because he purposed in his heart way back there, in chapter 1, it says he denied himself certain foods and certain privileges. And now we have, at the end of his life, we have him denying himself of certain foods and certain privileges. So he began well, he will finish well. And so that's my heart's desire, that we would all finish well. And so he didn't desire anything of his external appearance while his internal state was one of sorrow and mourning. Both at the beginning and the end. And so now on the 24th day, and here we have this other date here, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river Tigris, I lifted my eyes. I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. Uphaz gold was the gold of the gold of the gold. It was amazing, pure gold. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. So the time and the location are identified. The 24th day of the first month would include the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So during this time frame, was he also weeping over it? So the Passover is the 14th day of Nisan. But it's called Abib in Exodus 23:15. But it's called Nisan in Nehemiah 2:1. So the nearness of the festival days, which commemorated Israel's deliverance, might have been further reason for Daniel's fasting and praying. Were the people at all concerned about these festivals? Did they care about honoring God? And so the vision that was caught, so he's by the Tigris and caught him by surprise. The man that he saw, what he saw was in fact God himself. That's what I believe. I believe in the form of the post-incarnate Jesus. I believe that he saw the post-incarnate Jesus. Why do I say that? After everything that I went over, I believe that it was the post-incarnate Jesus because in Revelation chapter 1, it is the post-incarnate Jesus that was seen in that chapter. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. So you'll want to check that out. So it's what I believe. What I'm seeing there and the correlation between the two. And the effect on Daniel and John was exactly the same. And so it goes on to say, after all of this beauty that he saw, after all of this stuff that's going on, you can imagine how you would feel. And I hope that when you read through scripture, you put yourself in that position so that you can experience maybe a little bit of what these people were experiencing at that time. And so, we move on into verse 7, and he says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." I probably might have too. "Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me." So he had to write all of this stuff down because there was no one else to see it. "For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words," verse 9, "and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground." One thing I want to point out right away, he was in a position that he was used to being in. Well, yes, he was in a sound sleep, but yes, he was on his face before God. He was on his face before the Lord, who he has just seen. Did he faint? Did he sleep? How did he get there? I don't know, but I know he was on his face before he went to the lion's den because he knew that God deserved that kind of respect. We need to remember that he is worthy of our love. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of all things that go toward him. And so it holds a similarity. Daniel 10:7 holds the similarity to Acts 9:7. Daniel saw the vision and no one else saw it. Saul of Tarsus understood the words of Christ, but the men who were with him couldn't understand it. And so they didn't know what was going on. His friends weren't able to receive the least of the revelation. Only the man whose perceptions are sharpened by concern and contrition receives fresh revelations from God. That's part of what am I willing to give up to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? What am I giving up? Am I giving up some TV? Am I giving up some of the books that I read? Am I giving up some of the time that I spend at, I don't know, maybe they're good things. Maybe all my time is spent, you know, all my time is spent sewing. Am I willing to set that aside for a time to be with the Lord, to get understanding of who he is, to study my Bible, to study the Word of God, to hear what God has to say? Because if I'm not listening and God's talking, you who are parents, or you who were children at one time who had parents. Yeah, that was funny. I'm just saying, you all had parents. You know what it is to talk to your kids and have them They have no idea. They have no idea what you're saying. They haven't the slightest attention to you. And we know how that feels. I don't want to do that to God. I don't want to be in that position where I am just, I'm so busy with all my stuff that God is talking to me and I'm just going, yeah, but yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, okay. And not paying any attention to him. And so Daniel is a place where he is weak in God's presence and he falls forward, as we said earlier. And here he is in this deep sleep. And so suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. On my knees and the palms of my hands. So is he now on all fours? Is that the position that we have him in now? I'm just thinking this through myself, but is this the position that he's in? So he's weak in his hands and his knees. It just comes to mind that God answers knee mail. So that just kind of came across my mind here. So he does definitely answer all of those. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. O man greatly beloved. You are loved. Ladies, you are loved. You are loved. You are loved by the creator of the entire universe. You are loved by the one who so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We have just celebrated his resurrection. We just celebrated the day that he went to the cross and laid down his life so that we could have eternal life. For our sins, he died for our sins that we could have that eternal life. We are greatly loved. And he told him to understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. I have now been sent to you. So this gives some indication that this is possibly another angel. There is a spiritual warfare that's going on. And the spiritual warfare is always going on. If you didn't know that by this point through Daniel, there is spiritual warfare always going on. That's what he's in the midst of. And so he's been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling, and wouldn't we all? And so he's in the presence of the Lord. But it was this hand of an angel that reached down for him. And then he's a hand of a ministering angel. I'm hand of the ministering angels. And I had all these notes written out about the angels and what they do and how they do it and how they fill in there. But this is not about the angel. This is about the Lord. And so that was all out, so we didn't have time. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. Right. Okay, so I've just been all through this glowing. I passed out. I'm on my face now. And you, who I don't really know, you have grabbed my hand. You pulled me up, and you don't want me to be afraid. Okay, got it. Yes, I'll stand up and not be afraid. For the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself, I would say to you that Daniel set his heart way back when, long before he came to Babylon to humble himself. He had set his heart to understand and humble yourself before God. Your words were heard. Here we see one of the many instances where angels perform as ministering spirits to God's heirs of salvation, which is Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. And the touch of God through the angel was to enable Daniel to stand. The angel was preparing Daniel to be fully capable to receive the understanding, the interpretation of the vision. Do not fear. By this time, Daniel was probably ready to understand all kinds of things. Remember that God sent his ministering angel to a man of prayer and faith. He sent his angel to a man of prayer and faith, and he said, fear not. Daniel has invested 3 weeks laboring in prayer and in fasting. He has labored in prayer and fasting for 21 days for his people in Israel. And then there followed this vision so that the weakness was very great. It was a holy and dedicated man who was made aware of the fact that he was dearly loved by God, a man in whom God delighted greatly. It's not to the selfish unfaithful that would hear these words. In times of human weakness, our Savior himself was strengthened by angels, Matthew 4 and in Luke 22. Fear not, from the first day that you set your heart to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And ladies, if we are walking in the will of the Lord, from the very first moment that you set your heart to speak to God and to listen and to understand and to humble yourself before God, he heard you. Whatever it was that you asked him, he heard you. We can come with boldness before him. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we will have the petitions that we desire of him. And so the word confidence here means boldness. In Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. When we are praying according to God's will, we are able to express ourselves boldly and with confidence that God hears us and he will answer us. We might not get the answer immediately, but we know that he hears us and that the time of the promise in God's time and not ours. The time of the promise is God's time, not ours. Acts 7:17. It is God's timing. It is always God's timing. So listen for this very carefully. It is the matter of fact, the answer may be long in coming. But as a matter of faith, it is ours at the time of our asking. It is a matter of fact that the answer may be long in coming, but as a matter of faith, it is ours at the time of our asking. Daniel was confident of this very thing. He purposed in his heart long ago and had become familiar with the voice of God. In verse 13, as we move on to verse 13, your prayer was heard. I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, okay. Well, the prince of Persia. Who is the prince of Persia? He fought me, so he's fighting in the heavens, trying to stop me from coming to get to you. So I guarantee you that King Cyrus was not in outer space fighting off a spiritual person, preventing things from happening and not letting God's stuff come through. So we know this was a spiritual battle. This is that spiritual battle that was going on, that is always going on. The weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. Do you have times where you have to go, oh, you have to get that thought, and you have to, sometimes you have to lock up a thought, and sometimes you have to lock on a thought. Does that make sense? Sometimes you have to lock up a thought, and sometimes you have to lock on to a thought. and stay there with it, with God's given to you. The prince of the kingdom of Persia in verse 13 and the prince of Greece in verse 20 are evil spirits who entered into the rulers of the world governments so as to influence those governments to oppose the people of God and the word and the work of God. A case of demonism in world government. We live in America and we often will say, oh no, demons don't, yeah, that, no, not in America. I'm telling you, have you been listening to the news? And we see that the enemy is at work. The enemy wants to rob, kill, destroy every good thing. And if it can enter into the leadership, then we have what we have today. And I'm not saying on anybody, please do not misquote me on that. That was not a political statement. It is a statement that in government, there are people who are demon-led. And that's why we have these bills coming up to destroy our children. That's why in every way that is possible, they want to destroy our children. There's a spiritual war going on in the spirit realm all the time. But all of the agencies on earth linked together with all of the superhuman agencies of the skies cannot, through their combined strength and strategy, thwart the work of God. They cannot. We can trust in God. We can trust in who He is. In Revelation 12, in Daniel 10, and in Jude 9, all put Michael associated with the warfare carried on between good and bad angels. The important prophetic passage, Revelation, still waiting for fulfillment, points to that fact. Okay, there is angels are the word, of course, will leave. They're organized. There are people in charge. There are angels that are in charge. There are angels that are not in charge. So they're the foot soldiers, and there are the sergeants. There are the admirals. There are the higher-ups, the hierarchy in there. And it seems throughout Scripture that Michael is the one who leads the war against the bad angels. And there are bad angels. In the New Testament, we call them demons. In the Old Testament, they're just bad angels. They're doing bad things. But John wrote, and there was war in heaven, Revelation 12, 7 through 11. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. So Michael is leading the war, the spiritual war, against the bad angels, against the dragon that we see in Revelation chapter 12. So Satan, acting through the prince of the kingdom of Persia, would have prevented the angel from giving to Daniel the interpretation of the vision, but Michael withstood him. He withstood him for 21 days. That means that there really is a real war going on. You were heard, your prayer was heard immediately, and I was on my way to answer it. But I was withstood by the bad angels. So he fought that fight. Nothing could separate Daniel from the love of God. Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor this nor that nor the other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. God, nothing can separate us from the love of God. In the spiritual realm, nothing can separate us from the will of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're in the same kind of conflict that Daniel was in. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In verse 20, you'll see that the that he says that he's going to go to go to the prince of Greece. So these princes are bad angels that are over all these countries. And so that he will carry the fight against the prince of Greece. At the time the angel spoke the word to Daniel, the Medo-Persian Empire would go on for another 200 years before Greece would come in. And Michael is already telling him, I'm going to be fighting that one as well when that time comes. So I am prepared for what's ahead of us. The fight continues to this day in the spiritual realm and therefore in our daily lives as well. And so in verse 14, and now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Many days yet to come. The vision is for the Jewish people in the time of the end. It will take place in the 70th week that was taught by Ruth last week. And Daniel is about to have a touch on his life. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. When he said these things, it's for many days to come, he began to understand. He lowered his head, which is the common thing to do. He had nothing to say. What can you say in that situation? And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and I spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is my breath left in me. And then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. The Lord will strengthen us. Daniel is about to have a touch of utterance. Up to this point, he has had the touch of understanding in chapter 8, verse 18, the touch of undergirding in 10:10, and now he has the touch of utterance. Without the touch of God on our lips, we cannot speak those things which glorify him. Without the touch of God on our lips, we cannot glorify him. Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah was given utterance by the touch of God. Isaiah 6, Isaiah said he couldn't speak for God, but God gave him utterance with a touch. A strange weakness comes over us when we, as believers, were given the opportunity to speak for Jesus. Does that happen to anybody else? Oh, just me. Okay. Those times when we have opportunities to speak for Jesus and we just, and we can't come. We need a touch so that God can give us those words that we need to speak. But to people of prayer and faith, through the touch of utterance comes from God. And we're able to speak. And so the fourth and final touch comes in 18 and 19 of God on Daniel is the touch of undertaking. When Daniel was touched, it felt like the physical touch of a man. The purpose of this touch was to strengthen him. It was to strengthen him. In Job 23:6, when Job was broken in body and spirit, he testified of God, he would put strength in me. In a number of the Psalms, the Lord is my strength. He is my saving strength of his anointed, Psalm 28. In Psalm 29, the Lord will give strength to his people. In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. And in Psalm 81, God is our refuge and strength. In Psalm 73, God is the strength of my heart. And unless, lest you feel that perhaps we're only talking in the Psalms of getting that strength. Think of the men of old. Moses in Exodus 15, David in 2 Samuel, Isaiah in chapter 12, Jeremiah in chapter 16, Habakkuk in chapter 3, Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." I will uphold you, God says. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. I will give you all that you need. You need not fear, because I'm going to give you all that you need. This whole chapter, in Ezra 7:28, "I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me." Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." For what? To be my witnesses. He will give us that power in these last days as the Holy Spirit comes upon us and touches us and gives us the ability to speak. Ephesians 3:14 and 16, "We pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so he spoke to me as I was strengthened. Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." And then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia." So the fighting continues on. "And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." So we have the indication that Michael was the prince of Israel. That there is an angel that is over Israel. There is an angel that is over other countries as well. There is an angel, I believe, in this form that is over the United States. There is a spiritual warfare going on around the world, every place. There's no place that you can get away from it. And so may God touch our lives as he touched Daniel and others. "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This whole chapter was written, was given to us so that we could, so that Daniel could be prepared for what was coming in chapter 11. And these last three chapters, I told you they should have been together. Next week, we'll see why Daniel was so saddened. We've had things revealed to us today, and God has specifically told us how to pray in a number of ways. I am saying that by faith. I believe that God has given to you, to each one of you, a specific way to pray for a specific thing that you have on your heart. I believe that he's spoken it to each one of us today. And we need to know how to pray because we have sought his face. "Fear not, but pray and seek the Lord and allow him to speak to your heart. You are greatly loved." You are greatly loved. And God will reveal himself to you. If you are in a place where you need God to show himself to you, he wants to do that. He wants to show himself to you. He wants to invade those places. He wants to go in your coat closet. You know what I'm talking about? God wants to go in your coat closet. I don't know about your coat closet. Most of you are very organized people, I know. My coat closet, I oftentimes, at the last minute, I'll put something in there and close the door because people are coming over. So it's out of the way, but it's stuffed in the coat closet. And God wants in our coat closet. He wants those things that we've stuffed away. He wants those things that we just got out of our sight. We just put it out of our mind. Nope, not thinking about it. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. "But will you do this for me?" God says. "Will you let me in the coat closet? Will you let me into every nook and cranny of your life? I will speak to you in a way that you have never heard me before if you will let me have every inch of your life." And thank you, Father, that you have done exactly that. You have invaded every inch of our lives, Lord. Give us the strength to let you have those things, Lord, that we hang on to for whatever reason. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are not content to let us wallow around in anything other than to invest our time with you. And so, Lord, would you make us women of prayer? Would you, when you call us to fast, would you give us the strength and the courage and the thoughtfulness and the everything that we need to fast in whatever way you tell us to fast? Lord, would you give us hearts filled with prayer, to be true prayer warriors, Lord, for the other people, not just giving our list of can you do this and would you do this and how about that and what about then and could you do go over there, Lord Jesus, that you would just make us women of prayer. And we continue to pray for this bill today, Lord, and any others that are coming up that are for the purpose of destroying our children, Lord. We pray, Father, for your intervention, and we trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I will see you next week.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go. Stay.